D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
One of the most important days in our annual calendar is Mother's Day. We celebrate it today on Truths That Transform.
Do your children see in your life that you really believe Monday through Saturday what you profess on Sunday?
Faithful mothers are rarer and more valuable than ever.
I was supposed to be aborted 72 years ago. I was not supposed to be born. My mother and father had the appointment literally the next morning to have me aborted because my mother's health was very poor.
We look at the meaning of motherhood, how the culture is undermining it, and what to do about it on today's Truths That Transform. Well, happy Mother's Day, and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We have seen an all-out assault on traditional marriage and the family over the past several decades here in America. In the Bible, Job sarcastically chides his presumptuous friends, saying, "No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you." And that seems to perfectly describe the arrogance of our modern elites toward basic established truths. Later in this program, Dr. Kennedy will share a biblical view on motherhood. And as we begin, the modern rebellion against ancient truth is not only part of the worldly culture, it has affected the church also. The temptation to compromise truth in pursuit of acceptability is growing stronger. Dr. Michael Youssef is one of America's most watched, most listened to pastors. He's written an urgent new book, Saving Christianity: The Danger in Undermining Our Faith and What We Can Do About It. I recently had a chance to discuss it with him in this second excerpt of our two-part series. Dr. Youssef, you have written on the threat to Christianity in your new book,
yes,
Saving Christianity, with a big question mark after that statement.
Right.
What is that threat as you see it?
I am noticing now, whether it would be the emergent church or some of the mega church pastors, they start by saying, well, we really need to be ambiguous about some things, especially if these are the things that run counterculture, that is not accepted by society at large. And, you know, a mega church pastor preached a sermon not long ago, in fact, I quoted it in my book, and said, you know, what we need to do is to get unhitched from the Old Testament. And because, you know, it's offending some of the people who are trying to reach for Christ and focus only on the resurrection. But if the resurrection's supernatural, you get unhitched from the Old Testament. And then Basically it's a Marconian heresy, which again, an old one. Marcion is a guy who said, well, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. This is in the very early days of the church. And that same Marcion falsehoods and teaching is now coming into the evangelical church. Well, the God of the Old Testament is the God of justice and the God of judgment, but the God of the New Testament is the God of love. But the Bible said, for God, the Father, the God of the Old Testament, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. How can he even separate those two? It's a one book. One is the foundation, the other one is a building. Or if you one is a building, the other one is the roof. And so breaking down the scripture is the first step in then moving with the culture. And we say, well, you know, We can, you know, any two people can be married, or any group of people can be a family, and on and on and on and on. And that is the danger that I see our culture is getting into unless God wakes us up in time.
What do you see as being the key points where the Christian faith and biblical truth are most challenged today? Is it human sexuality? Is it marriage and family? Where's the real pressure point in the culture today?
I think all of it, including abortion.
And now we
have people talking about murdering babies after they're born. I mean, this is a travesty. And then we're having communists running for highest office of the land and thinking that this is really biblical. Even we have the Pope talking about socialism. And then it goes on to the marriage and the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of human life. All of these things are the fruit of the gospel. And we must not poison the tree so that the fruit is going to be poisonous. And as a friend of mine used to say, as goes the pulpit, so goes the pew. As goes the pew, so goes the nation. And so it is not a surprise we are in this predicament. Recently, I was on Fox and Friends, and the reason I was invited with a couple of other pastors is because there was a report, there was a research that's been published. I forgot who the publisher was, that 50%, just think, 50% of evangelical pastors are afraid to preach on what they call controversial issues. Well, that's marriage, sexuality, and acceptance
life.
Of one's gender that was created, in which God created you. All of those issues, they're afraid to talk about it. Why? Because they don't want to offend anybody. And if I'd rather offend people than offend God.
Why did you take this challenge, putting yourself out there today? Because what you're doing is going to be called controversial by all of these people.
Of course.
You're just calling for a return to orthodoxy, but in the culture that we're in, the quote you just gave about 50% of pastors being afraid to even talk about these subjects.
Right.
How did you get to this point in your calling to be a minister of the gospel where you felt like this has to be addressed?
Sure. Well, a couple of things. I was supposed to be aborted 72 years ago. I was not supposed to be born. My mother and father had the appointment literally the next morning to have me aborted because my mother's health was very poor. But an intervention by our pastor who saw a vision from God, and he shared with them and said, you need to trust God with this pregnancy and don't abort. And he stuck his neck out. And so I ended up in this world, and I'm so grateful. My mother was a woman of faith, trusted God, and said, well, if my health deteriorates, fine. And then God gave her 16 years, actually, that I had the joy of knowing her for 16 more years after I was born. In fact, I came to the Lord in March of 64, and she died in July of that year. So she was rejoicing in the fact that I gave my life to Christ before she died. And the second thing is, when I escaped from Egypt, my home country, over 50 years ago, literally, it was a supernatural intervention of God who literally took me out of certain death. And so God saved me twice. And then, of course, eternally he saved me. So three times he saved me. And I say in the book about a moment of time when I was tempted. I was tempted because a well-known, respected pastor said to me, this is many years ago, in your face preaching, as you do, and I'm quoting word for word, it's not going to give you a big church. And so I was tempted, well, how can I, you know, soften this? And I went to pray, and the Lord convicted me. He said, I did not save you, and I saved your life more than once so that you can compromise the gospel, that I called you specifically from your mother's womb to uphold the truth, not to be popular with the culture. Now, nobody likes to be unpopular, but if that's the price we pay, so be it. And our work is in leading the way, Kingdom Sat. We're in 195 countries. It's in 200 million homes. And God And I come across persecuted people. Do you know what they say to me when I say to them, we in America pray for you? And they said, we too pray for America and for European Christians, but we pray that God would send you a persecution. Because until you experience persecution, you will not experience the purity and the joy of following Jesus at any cost. And man, this is a mouthful. They're praying that we have persecution. And I thank God for for the persecuted. We pray for them. We support them. We encourage them. We take the gospel to them. Maybe it's what we need here, persecution in the West, as our brothers and sisters have been praying. And as a result of that, we need to be vigilant and say, what is a little criticism? What is that? It's not going to kill me. But even if they kill me, and so what? Right. I lived and served, and if my time is up, my time is up.
Thank you, Dr. Michael Youssef. His new book, Saving Christianity with a question mark. That's the challenge for the people of God in our day, and we need to rise to that challenge. Thank you, Dr. Youssef.
God bless.
God bless you. Because of his mother's faithfulness to God, Michael Youssef is with us today, broadcasting on radio and television in America, throughout the Middle East, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, we will tell you how you can get the entire conversation Dr. Youssef and I had, as well as his important new book. But first, as Dr. Youssef testifies to the faith of his mother, let's hear from Dr. D. James Kennedy on the difference a godly mother can make, not only for her children, but for the world at large. This is a portion of his classic message, How to Be a Godly Mom.
Ladies, are you a godly mother? Well, let's take a look at how one becomes such and what it takes to be one. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:5, talking to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, or Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy, who was one of the great Christians of the Bible, in fact, he is often considered to be the greatest of the second generation of Christians. And I think it's worthy of note that about the very time that Jesus Christ was agonizing upon the cross at Golgotha, there was another woman going through the natural agonies of childbirth hundreds of miles away in what is now Turkey, in the city then known as Lystra, and she brought forth into the world a baby boy whom she named Timothy. That woman was Eunice, and her name is an interesting name. It's also, by the way, the name of my wife's mother as well. In Greek, it's Eunike, which comes from the Greek goddess of victory, Nike, and from the prefix EU, which means good, as in euphemism, which is good speaking, or euthanasia, a good death. Sometimes the U is changed to V in English, where euangelion turns into evangelism, which means good angel, the angel meaning either the messenger or the message, and evangelism is the proclamation of good news. And so Eunice, whose name means good victory, got her greatest victory when she brought forth this marvelous son, Timothy, a man whom later Paul could say when he sent him to the Philippians, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, and not the things which be of Christ. But Timothy, naturally sought and cared for the things of others. What an incredible compliment. And to hear the Apostle Paul say of you, I have no man like-minded to this one. He is unique. He is special. He stands head and shoulders above all of the rest. No wonder he became the bishop of the great church at Ephesus later. But how did he come to that character and that faith? Well, Paul tells us right here that there was that unfeigned faith that was in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and also now in Timothy. She was obviously a godly woman. How did she get that way? From the Scripture. We know that she knew the Scripture and she taught it to her son, because Paul says to Timothy that from a youth, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So Eunice learned it from her mother Lois and taught it to her son Timothy, and that prepared his heart to receive the gospel of Christ when Paul came proclaiming it years before. When Paul first came to Lystra, Timothy was 15 years old, and he led him to Christ, and he returned for his second journey, 7 years later. Timothy is now 22, a mature disciple, well reported. And Paul says, I want that man to go with me on my missionary journeys. And so he went, the ever faithful Timothy, the beloved son who was so sensitive and perhaps we might gather from Paul's letter, timid Timothy, and yet, though of a sensitive and timid and shy nature, he was able to withstand all of the onslaughts. Paul tells him in this thing to be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity or fear, but the spirit of strength and fearlessness in Jesus Christ. And Timothy was able to even withstand the licentious, godless manifestations of wickedness that were put on by the followers of the goddess Artemis or Diana there in Ephesus when he was years and years later the bishop. And in his attempt to break up that demonstration, tradition tells us that Timothy was beaten to death. So he indeed developed a strength of character that made him, even before that, a fearless witness and evangelist for Christ. And he got a great deal of that, no doubt, from his mother, because the Scriptures became ingrained in his life, and she taught them to him from the very earliest years. And also, we see that there was in her an unfeigned faith. She was a woman of the Word. She was a woman of unfeigned faith. Now, we have a lot in the churches today in America, a lot of feigned faith, which means fake faith, pretended faith. People put on their Sunday best, come to church, sing the hymns, go through the profession, say the creed, and yet there is no real faith in their hearts. Guess what? Their children know it. Children can spot a hypocrite a half mile away, especially when they live with them. Do you have unfeigned faith? If you would have a godly impact on your children, you have to be a mom of unfeigned faith. How are your children going to tell that? Do you live the Christian life during the week? Do they know that you are a woman of prayer, that you are a woman of the Word? Do you teach that Word to them? Do your children see in your life that you really believe Monday through Saturday what you profess on Sunday? To wit, we as Christians believe that Christ is the only hope of the world. We believe Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. We believe the Bible when it says there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby they must be saved but Christ. That is the faith of every true Christian. Do your children see that that is really the belief of your heart? Do they see that you are concerned about a lost world? Do they see that that is something which is on your heart, that you're concerned to do what you can to reach this world which desperately is in need of Christ? But even those of you who may have not succeeded in that particular area of your life, let me say this. You may have another chance. You may become a spiritual grandmother. There are many people who could say, who could trace their conversion and their knowledge of Christ and the Scripture to a godly grandmother, even in cases where the mother and father are totally unbelieving. Children have been brought to Christ and have grown up to serve Him wonderfully because of the influence of a godly grandmother. So, ladies, it may not be too late. You may, if you didn't make that impact on your children, you might yet do it on your grandchildren. May God grant to each one of you the grace to be a godly mom.
Godly mothers and fathers as well are so important to the structure of the family and to our culture. And yet society now tells us that these roles are essentially meaningless and interchangeable. Men can be women, women can be men, and marriage can be between two men and two women or whatever other combination you might come up with. Even more sadly, however, this thinking is now seeping into the church. As cultural disapproval of biblical teaching grows, especially on issues of sex and marriage, many pastors, churches, and denominations are seeking to obscure the truth or deny it altogether in an effort to appeal to the culture. Not only does that approach not work, it's actually deadly to the church itself. That's why Dr. Michael Youssef has written his vital new book, Saving Christianity: The Danger in Undermining Our Faith and What You Can Do About It. And we would like to send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. I truly believe that this is a book every Christian needs to read. Do you realize that the pastor of one of America's largest evangelical churches now says Christians should reject using the Old Testament when they discuss their faith because the world doesn't like it? Or that America's largest Protestant denomination has passed a resolution declaring aspects of cultural Marxism to be helpful analytical tools. The American church is in grave danger. And in this book, Dr. Michael Youssef shows how efforts to, quote unquote, save Christianity by compromising with the culture actually destroy it. You will also discover how to live out your faith without compromise in a post-truth world. He also shows that the only firm foundation for the church is the ancient faith professed by Christians 2,000 years ago. That's Michael Youssef's new book, Saving Christianity: The Danger in Undermining Our Faith and What You Can Do About It, as our thanks for your generous donation. And if you are able to give a donation of $60 or more, we'll send you the book Saving Christianity plus the new DVD, No Compromise, featuring the fascinating and thought-provoking full-length discussion I had with Michael Youssef, just a portion of which you saw on this program today. In an age when increasing numbers of Christians are compromising the truth in the public arena, we refuse to compromise. We are standing for truth and defending your freedom. And your donation helps us continue that work. simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Motherhood is one of the foundational institutions of all human civilization. When God created the world, He created human beings, male and female. He gave the command to Adam and Eve and to all of us who follow them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. This command necessarily entails motherhood. So we obey the commandment to honor our fathers and our mothers as we rightly celebrate Mother's Day. And of course, it follows that Satan, whose goal is to kill, steal, and destroy, would attack the institution of motherhood. Motherhood brings forth fruit from the womb in the form of beautiful little babies. But Satan has deluded our culture into believing that motherhood is oppressive and that the baby is a disposable byproduct of the pursuit of pleasure. Former President Obama once gave voice to this exact sentiment, saying that if one of his young daughters were to become unintentionally pregnant, quote, "I don't want them punished with a baby," unquote. Tens of millions of children have been killed in the womb in America in the service of this lie. The enemy has fostered a movement that asserts that human beings are the enemy of creation and a cancer within it. Children are the fruit of a male-female union, and so Satan has conned our culture into denigrating marriage, believing that marriage is just as valid between two men or two women. In all of this, Satan's goal is to contravene the basic command of God and to replace fruitfulness with barrenness. That's why on this Mother's Day, we should give extra thanks for the millions of moms who have rejected the deluge of lies from the evil one in order to bring us into the world, to nurture us, and to love us as only a mother can. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom, and we thank you for standing with us. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Attempt something for Christ's sake and do it now.
The courts are determining decisions that have ramifications far beyond whoever the occupant of the Oval Office is.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.